Well, welcome to Genesis Metro in the new era of three services. I just want to say congratulations due to your guys' invites and personal sending out the cards that we gave you. We had right at 1,000 people last weekend, so it was our biggest Easter since our grand opening of this building. Very exciting, and I can tell you that we received emails all week about people's lives that were changed. Last week we were talking about people that bring regret into the house of God and how God offers you an opportunity to exchange that regret for redemption. And man, what a great conversation starter for someone that might have walked in for the first time last week. So today we're going to be continuing this conversation about being led of God. In the graphic that I have back there on the TVs, there's a cord coming down from above and it's plugged in and it has the word led. I want you to think about that this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you plugged in to God above and how your life is being lived? Are you led in your life? Do you have something greater than yourself that you're living for? And have you connected to Jesus Christ and his plan for your life? Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, when you guys walked out of your house this morning and you looked at the sun in the sky, no, right? When you looked at the clouds in the sky, and you might have even, you know, had a rough morning. Did anybody have a rough morning? Just want to testify real quick? Yeah, a couple of you. Yeah, you might have even gotten into an argument on the way to church. Isn't that awful whenever you argue on the way to church? Because then you have to, you know, you have to like turn it on as soon as you get out of the car, right? Like you tell your, yell at your kids, now, everybody suck it up and let's act like we got it together. Then you walk out of the car. You know how it is. We all have those little moments. But anyway, so this morning, is it possible that there's maybe all of us in here that maybe there's some areas where God has said, I want you to have an abundant life. And if you were honest in your estimation of your life right now, that maybe you're coming up short of the abundant life. Maybe you're struggling at living life more abundantly. I want you to know something, that many times the reason why people don't experience the abundant life is because their decision-making process does not have the right formula. It's not the right process. It's their ability to factor God into the equation. And so this morning we're going to talk about a lady named Ruth in the Old Testament. And Ruth came to a crossroads. And as we played the song just a moment ago, she had this had to decide whether she was going to stay or whether she was going to go. I think that a lot of us have these decisions that we make on a regular basis. Would you guys agree that there are constant decisions we have to make? Should we stay or should we go? When it comes to where we're going to live, where we're going to raise our children, we have to think, should we stay or should we go? Is something better for us somewhere else? When it comes to our career, oftentimes in today's volatile market, if you own a business or if you have a job, then you have to constantly factor in, you know, where's this company going? Is it going to make it? And you might be asking yourself this morning, should I stay or should I go? And even sadly, sometimes in even our relationships, whenever things get a little rocky, whenever the storms inside of relationships start to brew, many of us even have those thoughts, right? Should I stay or should I go? Well, if you don't have the right factoring in your equation of how you make that decision, if God is not a part of that equation, then how are you going to get it right? Is it possible this morning that when you leave God out of the equation that you might sometimes leave when you should have stayed? And you might sometimes stay when you should have left? And is there anything at stake in making the wrong decision? What if I told you this morning that having a life that is led from above is incredibly important? What if I told you that your destiny, and not only yours, but other people's destiny and God's dream for your life is wrapped up in whether or not you are led this morning? If you are led, then your life is full of passion, and it is full of excitement. If you are not living a life that is led from above, then I can tell you this morning, you are struggling, you are stressed out, and you may put a facade on for everyone to see, but inside, you lack contentment, you lack peace, you lack joy. So there's something crazy about living a life of faith that though it is challenging, it's rewarding. There's something crazy about stepping out into the unknown, but you're trusting in the God who knows, even though it's unknown to you. He knows that he's ordered your steps, that you can walk in those steps, and that everything's going to be okay. There's something incredibly comforting about that. But if you've never stepped out of comfort, if you've never stepped out of convenience, then you don't know what it's like to be led. I hope today that I can share with you an incredible story about a woman who chose the abundant life. And she had every reason not to. And this morning, you might be at a crossroads too. Maybe you've really never trusted Jesus with your life. Like you've trusted him. It's crazy. We trust him with our salvation. We're like, yes, Jesus saved me. But then we just ultimately take the wheel back the next day and we're like, yeah, but I'm going to drive this ship, you know, because God, I got this. I know. And so this morning, I hope that I can share with you that being led is scary. Being led is inconvenient. Sometimes it calls us to sacrifice, but it's incredibly worth it in the end. So let's talk about Ruth this morning. I want to pick up the story. Her mother-in-law has been widowed, and then 10 years after that, both of her sons die. So her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, are at a crossroads, and they're having to decide, are they going to go with mom back to her home country where she has nothing and no one waiting for her there? And because she's a woman in their society, she won't be able to gather anything as well. So here is this incredibly difficult decision. Do I stay with what I know? Do I stay with my people? Or do I leave into the unknown? We're going to see two different decisions from two different women that represent two different methodologies for going about life. And I hope this morning that you probably will see some of yourself in both of them, and the ones that you see that are in Orpah, that you'll learn how to adjust those. And the ones that you're seeing of yourself that you choose the way of Ruth, the way of faith, that you might only expand that and increase it. So we're going to pick up the story. It's an incredibly emotional moment. Grief is overcome Naomi. The two daughters now have been widowed as well. So you can imagine, this is a Steel Magnolias moment, right? For all the ladies in here. If you've never seen Steel Magnolias, it just is a movie designed to make you cry, okay? So guys, you have to put on your kryptonite man suit when you watch that, or watch it by yourself. And so verse 11, it says, Naomi replied. She says, return home, my daughters. Return home. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters, go on, for I am too old to have another husband. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm getting older, but I don't want to ever use my age as an excuse, and you don't need to either, because you're not too old to do the will of God in your life, okay? So just hear me in this, all right? Anybody that is my age or older, you're not too old, okay? You still got some life left to live. I see some people, they kind of give up, like, oh, you know what? Life's passing by. I can't do that anymore. Hey, you still have life to live. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you. That's right. You're not too old, all right? So she said, I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, which is implying that there's not hope for her. So if you walked in here today and you're saying, oh, there's no hope for me, you don't understand, Tim, what I'm going through, what I've done. Okay, that's a lie from the enemy. Do not receive that. She said, even if there was hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from me marrying? No, my daughters, my life is too bitter. So she says she's too old and she's too bitter. This does not sound like a fun person to hang out with, right? And the reason why she's saying these things is because she's wrapped in grief. Have you ever been around someone who's wrapped in grief? I mean, you say crazy things when you're wrapped in grief. Whenever you've just lost something you love, whether it's a career, whether it's a loved one, whatever it is, loss is universal in its effect on people. We say some crazy stuff and we have some crazy thoughts whenever we're under grief. A quick aside, do not take advice from people while they're in an emotional heightened state, okay? And if you're in an emotional heightened state, don't give advice when you're in that state, okay? So all the men said, amen. All right. So I'm just saying, sometimes we take advice from people that are emotional and they're not thinking it through. Their perspective is skewed by the moment. So here she was. She says, I'm too old and I'm too bitter because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Another falsity. She blamed God for the pain that she had gone through. Understand this. That's not the hand of God that said, you know what? I'm going to smite their husbands and cause them to die. The Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned, and sin brought forth death. Ergo, death is a result of sin or man's fallen state. So it's not the hand of God that wipes out these people so just to make you suffer. No, she was once again grieving, and she had a misunderstanding. And so she was blaming God for man's fallen state. So one day we'll be redeemed, and we won't have to worry about death anymore. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. There we go. There's a good chance for an amen. And so death has lost its sting. Was that not a good song? You know, we might have to do that one again at the end. I don't know. That was pretty exciting. So it says again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back. This is a key verse. Everybody look at that. Has gone back to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law. Would you say that these two ladies, Orpah and Ruth, were at a crossroads? That they were at a crisis moment? Do we stay or do we go? This morning, I don't know what crisis that God might bring you to, but I know this, that life is constantly about calculating decisions. Do we do this or do we do that? And all of them have consequences. So I want us to look at some of the questions and some of the considerations that Naomi put forth for Ruth and Orpah to make their decisions. The first question she asked, she said, why do you want to go with me? Why do you want to go with me? In her estimation, she had nothing to offer them. And the why questions are always great questions in relationships and in leadership, because why will give you someone's motive. I've learned this. If you're around our church culture very long, we do a lot of DISC personality profiling. And there's D-I-S-C, the four basic humors, and they represent four different types of people. But if you don't know a lot about analyzing people's personality, you can see behavior demonstrated that looks like a different personality type. And you would say, that person is obviously a this. And because you're looking at the behavior. But then you ask the person, why did you do the thing that you did? And you get their motive. And out of their motive, you'll know what their true personality is. I cannot tell you what I've learned over 20 years of being in ministry and helping people learn about themselves and lead churches and all that kind of stuff, how important it is. It has become more important to me now. If I'm considering staff or we're considering leadership or new elders or whatever, I have to know someone's motive. If you as a leader don't know the people that are walking with you, if you don't know their motives, then you are going to get messed up. You are going to get blindsided. You're going to get caught off guard because you assume because they're walking with you, right, that they're same heart, they're same mind. But is that true always? Has anybody ever experienced this, that you were walking with somebody and then all of a sudden an event occurred, and out of that event you figured out their motive was not the same as yours? Whenever you do that, you need to start learning from that process. Here we see that Orpah's heart was revealed. What did she do? She went back to her God and her people. So this morning, I want you to know that God might be asking you a question. Why do you want to follow me? Why do you want to follow me? What's your motive this morning for living the life that you live? Are you living the abundant life that Jesus Christ has offered you? I mean, would you say you woke up this morning like, yes, I have the abundant life? If you're living less than the abundant life, man, I'm going to tell you, you're missing out on God's best for you. Maybe you ought to check your motive inside. Next, she says, I have a couple of considerations. If you leave and go with me, I'm not going to be able to provide for you. Did you see that? She says, even if I had a husband tonight and I was able to conceive and bear sons, are you going to wait for them to grow up? She says, I cannot provide for you. Provision equals comfort. She says, if you choose me, that I will not be able to give you comfort. And then she says, let's just be practical about this. How many people are practical decision makers in here? You're right, you're pragmatist, right? I am a pragmatist, okay? So pragmatists oftentimes lack risk. And risk is a key component when following after God. So I'm telling you that I have to challenge myself to say, you know what, this is what's practical, but sometimes God is leading us past the practical. So she said, let's think about this practically. If you want to think about what's best for you, your people are here. What you know is here. What is convenient is here. So practicality speaks to convenience. So when many of us are standing at this crossroads, we're walking up to it, and here is a clear distinction. I can go left or I can go right. Many of us, we factor in provision, practicality, comfort, and convenience. And if it's not comfortable and it's not convenient, we say it must not be the right decision. So I should stay here. I should go back. I should play it safe when it comes to the decisions that I'm going to make in life. What if I told you this morning, if you always choose comfort and you always choose convenient, that you're going to miss out on the abundant life that God has promised you? Because without a doubt, you have to understand there is a cosmic struggle between good and evil going on. There is a God who sits on a throne in heaven, and there's a little g God who sits on the throne of earth. And they are opposing one another. So if you align yourselves with the God of heaven, you have opposition coming against you. If you have opposition coming against you, it can't be easy. So if you are looking for convenient, and if you are looking for comfortable, it is impossible to follow the will of God and it always be easy. Jesus never promised it would be easy. He said, if any man will follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. Now, check my facts on this. The cross, the last time I looked, was not convenient, nor was it comfortable. Jesus did not say, I will provide for you comfort and convenience if you follow after me. He said, they hated me and they will hate you. And so it's not easy to follow after Jesus Christ. So this morning, as you're at these crossroads, I just wonder, what are the factors in your consideration? If you're always choosing convenience and always choosing comfort, and you're always looking, am I going to be provided for? And you're never willing to trust the God of all provision, then you might miss out on some incredible stuff for your life. And lastly, as she was sitting here getting ready to make this decision, Naomi was giving some advice. She was saying, this is practical. You know, this is what's best. It's easier for you this way. And Orpah deferred to Naomi's advice. And in so doing, she sealed her destiny. I want you to know something this morning, that there are some sitting in here that you don't like making decisions. Right? Does anybody want to just confess to that? I won't even look, okay? Is there anybody in here that just doesn't like making decisions? Okay, I know that you're lifting your hands right now, okay? And some of you, you're scared because that's a decision. I don't know if I should decide to lift my hand or not, okay? And so you stand at those crossroads and you're paralyzed because you're like, man, I don't want to make the wrong decision. And so you're fearful. And so you often defer to the people around you, and you believe. Now okay, come around the bend. You didn't see it coming. You believe that deferring absolves you of responsibility for the decision. And you think you can say, well, I did what they told me to do, and it didn't work out right. So somehow you are responsible. Whoa, wake up, okay? You are where you are because of the decisions you have made. And if you decided to defer to someone else who did not have God's will in their lips, that's on you. You can't go through your life blaming other people for where you are, what you have, what you don't have. That does not work in the economy of God. You have to take responsibility for yourself. Both of them had the same decision before them. One chose comfort and convenience and went back to what they knew. Think about this for just a moment. Would you guys all agree that all of us have some stuff in our past that constantly beckons us to come back? We all have some habits. We all maybe have some relationships, whatever it may be. But there's always something in our past, something that we laid down, something that we struggle with, whatever it is, and it always beckons us and says, won't you come back? This morning, I'm telling you beyond a shadow of a doubt, what's back there, it looks convenient, it looks comfortable, but I'm going to tell you, once you go back and once you taste it, let me ask you this question. How many times have you gone back? And when you went back and you grabbed a hold of the thing that you thought was going to bring you happiness, did it? Have you found purpose? Have you found peace? Have you found contentment? All those are wrapped in going forward toward your relationship with God and not going back to your past. I want us to use this as a comparison point for how Ruth responded. It says in verse 14, it says, again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law. Now get this moment, all right? I mean, we have three widows that are wrapped in the garbs of grief. Orpah is presented with the considerations. She walks up to her mother-in-law, and she doesn't want to leave. It's not like she was a bad, evil person, but her heart was not with the God of Naomi. Her heart was with her people and her little g, God. She kissed her mother-in-law on the cheek, and she went back to convenience. She went back to comfort. She went back to what she knew. As she is walking away, Ruth is clinging to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law says, look, and you see the silhouette of Orpah walking away. And she says, follow your sister. Go with her. But Ruth was determined to hold on to Naomi, symbolically representing that she was holding on to the faith that Naomi had presented to her that had changed her life. She said, Tim, well, how do you know that? Are you guessing about this? Well, let's just see what she said. But Ruth replied, do not persuade me to leave you or to go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh, which is the incommunicable name of God, the sacred name of God, punish me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. A quick aside that this just bears noting, when she uses the name Yahweh, if you guys aren't familiar with that, whenever Moses was going before Pharaoh, he said, who will I say sent me? You know, I don't want to go on my credentials because I'm just a shepherd out here. And when I stand before the most powerful man who has my life in his hands, just out of curiosity, who should I say sent me? And he says, you tell him the I am has sent you. And this becomes the sacred name used by the Hebrews of God. So here is Ruth, the Moabite, the Gentile, the pagan, using the sacred name of God that says, that means I am present. I am present to help. How important is it that Naomi had poured into the relationship with Ruth so that when she was going through the valley, what she had poured into Ruth was now reciprocated and poured out into her? Don't you know in this moment of brokenness, don't you know in this moment of bitterness, when she said her life was too old and too bitter and it was worthless, that she needed to hear that God was present and able to help? I mean, I don't know about you, but it's important for you to pour into others, because there's going to come a day that you need others to pour into you. And a life lived out of selfishness will always find itself lonely in its time of need. And that's just for free. So it says in verse 18, when Naomi saw Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. I'm going to tell you, some people are going to try to talk you out of your dream. They're going to try to talk you out of your destiny. When Carrie and I were determined to move to Frisco before we ever knew where Frisco was, I want you to know there were plenty of people that tried to talk us out of doing this. I know other people sitting in this room right now that have determined that their life was going to be about the kingdom of God, even about ministry. They've joined our staff. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of other things that they could do with their lives. But it's not about just becoming preachers or planting churches. What if it's just about you being an influence at where you work? I know people that brought people last week. This was a cool story. One of the guys in our church, we were texting back and forth. He's like, you know, I brought these people from where I work, and then they came back to work Monday, and they were talking about the incredible experience they have, and this other guy was listening to their experience. He said, hey, can we come to that church? We need to be fed. We're thirsty. We're dying out here on the vine. Now, how awesome is that? All because one guy invited one couple, that one couple expanded and moved into the exponential, invited another couple. That's the kingdom of God at work. It's not magic. It's not marketing. It's you telling your story, you inviting others to hear the message of God. So we move on and we see that she was determined. And you have to be determined if you're going to get to your destiny, if you're going to get to your dream. So the next point is you have to be led or you'll never leave. If presented with convenience and comfort, most of us choose that. Okay? Most of us do not choose sacrifice. Most of us do not choose suffering. Those are not words that we like to choose. And so if we're presented with these two different ways, two different paths, we're going to choose the path of least resistance. I'm going to tell you why that is a bad decision. Here was Ruth, and she said to herself, there's something about this relationship that is different than any relationship I've ever experienced. And it wasn't the relationship to Naomi, it was the relationship to Naomi's God. That inside of her heart, she had experienced a change, and as a result of that change, she was connected to Naomi the way that she couldn't be connected to anyone else. So the church, the Christians, the people that have embraced God, we are connected on another level. You can walk into any other church where the Holy Spirit abounds, and we've gone on mission trips at different places all over the world, and whenever it's the people of God, it's the people of God, and we can worship together. It doesn't matter if we even know those people, because the Holy Spirit is the same throughout all of these churches. And so you have to be led, or you'll never leave. My question to you is, do you know what led looks like? This morning, as you look at your life, would you say that there's something divine drawing you to itself? That there's something that God picked just for you that is drawing you to get out of bed in the morning? Because you see, whenever someone is led, passion erupts from their mouth. I mean, they can't contain themselves. Whenever Naomi presented the choice to Ruth, what did we see here? This explosion, this monologue, that's incredible. I mean, can you hear the passion in Ruth's voice? She says, look, quit trying to talk me out of God's dream for my life. I am determined. I will not be dissuaded. I am decisive. I am not going to change. I am willing to go directionally. I am willing to go after what God has called me to. If we had more people in here this morning that said, I am determined to chase my dream that God has put before me. Understand, my dream is not your dream, and your dream is not my dream. That God has a dream for all of us, and there will be people that try to talk you out of it. You have to be determined if you're going to accomplish God's dream for your life. Here we see this morning that passion erupted from her lips. And I just thought about that for a moment. I thought, I pity people that lack passion in their lives. Do you know anyone? Like someone you looked at in the mirror when you were getting ready this morning that has lost their passion? Wouldn't it be sad if you lost your passion for living? I mean, wouldn't life just be existence? Wouldn't it just be slogging through another week at work, or trying to make it through another month of marriage, or trying to raise these kids? if you've lost your passion. When you lose your passion, it robs from everyone else around you that's in relationship to you. Man, this morning, I can't tell you how important it is for you to find your passion. And understand this, that your passion is wrapped up in your calling, and your calling is decided on whether or not you're led. See, once you get led, the way that you choose things is what's best for the kingdom of God. What does God want for my life? And you say, well, over here is convenient, over here is comfort, but over here is the unknown. Over here is the inconvenient. Over here is service and sacrifice. But I know, See, this is the jump you gotta make. But I know that God has called me to it, and if he's called me to it, he'll get me through it, and on the other side, I will see his hand having used my life for the change of eternity. See, inside of Ruth was a plan. And if you don't know the way that Ruth's story ends, what Naomi said she couldn't provide, you know what? God said, I got that. You need a husband? Here's a guy named Boaz. And you're going to get married to Boaz, and then you're going to have children, and then they're going to have children, and they're going to have children. And at the end of those children, you know who's going to be there? Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to move you from being a pagan, a Moabite, and I'm gonna wrap you into a Jewish plan, and ultimately I'm gonna bring the Messiah of the world through your life as a result of your decision to choose the cross over comfort and convenience. This morning, your decision not only impacts you, what I'm trying to get you to see is just like the church member I mentioned a moment ago, your invitation to others, your sharing with others, ultimately impacts the lives of countless people. This morning, it's so important that you be led in your life. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to have a time of reflection. As we wrap up this morning, I couldn't help but notice how important it was for Ruth and Naomi to have that relationship at that level of love. That Ruth was saying, wherever you go, I'm going. And where you die, I'm gonna die. And I thought, I bet a lot of people walk in church every Sunday and they don't have a relationship with God like that. They don't even have a relationship in their marriage like that. They don't have a relationship in a church like that. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be sad if you didn't have anyone that you shared life with on that level? Now you say, Tim, I haven't ran into a lot of people. There won't be a lot of people that are ever for you on that level. But God will send a few. God will send a few. And when he sends those few, you better rejoice in the ones that he sent you, that they care more about you than they actually care about themselves. Can you imagine if every marriage in here said, you know what? I don't care what's comfortable for me. I don't care what's convenient for me. I have hitched myself to you for better or worse. I'm willing to sacrifice and serve you all the way to success, that I will follow you into the unknown. Can you imagine if we had a church full of marriages like that? Can you imagine in relation to your spiritual life, if you looked at Jesus Christ and you said, you know what? I can choose comfort. I can choose convenience, and I can die a boring, horrible, bitter, or this morning I could choose the cross, I could choose adventure, I could choose freedom, and I could experience things that I never thought possible as a result of taking this step that's logically going to lead to a next step. And Ruth never knew what the next step was, but she took this step and it got her to the next one. This morning God is just saying, take the first one and I'll get you the rest of the way. Would you guys join with us?